Protect them by thy guarding hand from every peril on the land. O Spirit, whom the Father sent to spread abroad the firmament, O wind of heaven, by thy might save all who dare the eagle's flight, and keep them by thy watchful care from every peril in the air. O Trinity of love and power, our brethren shield in dangers out from rock and tempest, fire and foe, protect them wheresoe'er they go. Thus evermore shall rise to thee God's good land in air and sea. Amen. Amen. Y'all may be seated. Amen. Anyone else? 416. 416. 416. Amen. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, vision of rapture now burst at my sound. Angels descending, ring from above. Echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Amen. One more, Brother Romel. Would you come? One more. Anyone else? 498. Without him I could do nothing. Without him I surely fail. Without him I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Jesus, oh Jesus, do you know him today? Do not turn him away, oh Jesus, oh Jesus, without him, how lost I would be. Without him I would be dying. Without him I'd be enslaved. Without him life would be hopeless. But with Jesus, thank God, I'm saved. Jesus, oh Jesus, do you know him today? Do not turn him away. Oh Jesus, oh Jesus, without him, how lost I would be.
Brother Romel.
Good to see everybody tonight. Good to have a visitor with us tonight. Pastor Wetzel? No, I'm afraid not.
I got out of a sick bed.
We lost our piano player. So Jacob is trying to spool up and hopefully we'll be up there and running here in just a little bit. Again, good to see everybody tonight. And answered prayers brought Pastor Wetzel in, and we're grateful to see him and how the Lord is touching him and bringing him back slowly to that point where he's able to function on a normal basis. So we're grateful for the Lord's working there. And again, grateful to be with you tonight. Well, Sunday mornings, we've kind of started a new series this morning in Psalm 23. And, you know, on Sunday nights, we've been in the same place, so why not just keep going, all right? So on Sunday nights, why don't we, let's do a study in the book of 1 John, okay? We've already looked at verses 1 through 7 in 1 John, and so tonight we're going to finish up the chapter. So, 1 John chapter 1. And once you have found your place, if you would stand, if you're willing and able, and that is just in honor of the reading of God's Word. You know, some people might think, why do we stand all the time? I can remember when I was at my first duty station, and I was in at Seymour Johnson Air Force Base Goldsboro, North Carolina, and I just got out of basic training and just went through tech school, and I was at my first duty station, and and I was meeting my new boss, who was an E7, and the superintendent of maintenance had walked in. He's an E9, and you know, been out of basic training, been out of tech school, so you kind of let your guard down, and so the E9 walks in and introduces himself, and I was sitting there in a chair, and he reached out his hand, and I was still sitting, and he jerked me up out of that chair so quick. Boy, don't you think these stripes on my arm deserve some respect? And I said, yes, sir. And so, you know, I always picture that oftentimes when we hear from God's word. We need to show it respect. So 1 John chapter 9, is there? 1 John chapter 1, and let's just read verses 8, 9, and 10, and then we'll do a little recap of where we've been. But I trust that this will be a blessing to you tonight. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have no, verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you so much for your inerrant, inspired word. Father, thank you for, Lord, using it to grow us and to mature us. Thank you for revealing yourself to us through it. And Father, again, it is a privilege to be in your house tonight to hear from you. And Lord, as we have already prayed this morning, we ask that your perfect will would be accomplished in our hearts and in our lives. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, some of these names you might not be real familiar with, and some you may. But what comes to mind when you hear the name David Blaine? And some might be scratching their head and thinking, I have no idea. What about Chris Angel? These are names that are more popular in our world today when it comes to entertainment. Penn and Teller. Getting closer? Okay. This one will definitely ring a bell. Okay, David Copperfield. Okay, so these are all what we would call magicians, you know, but that's not really an accurate name, you know, because magicians, they don't perform magic, you know, let's be honest. They create illusions. What they do is they make it look like something is happening that really isn't happening. You know, I can think of a kid, and the famous scene that you see magicians do is they put that lady in the box, and they stick her head out of one side and her feet out of the other, and then there's always that hole on the side where she can stick her arm out, and then they put that handkerchief in her hand so that while she's waving, you know, you can see that she's still in there, and everything is you know, no tricks, you know, at all. And then all of a sudden that guy brings out the big saw and he starts going to town right down the middle, right? And then that box is separated and her feet are wiggling over here and her head and her hand is over here. And some of the really good magicians, they cut that box into three pieces and her arm is over here, her head's over here, and her leg's over here. Well, you know, if we are honest, you know, with each other, they are nothing more than illusionists. There is no such thing as magic, okay? I understand that there are devil worshipers and all of that sort, and that's a completely different subject, but when we're talking about people like David Blaine, Chris Angel, Penn and Teller, David Copperfield, they are nothing more than illusionists. We could even say it this way. They are liars. Really. They make a lie look like truth. We could say it this way. They deceive right? They deceive us into thinking something that's not reality. You know, I think of some of the major things that David Copperfield supposedly did when he made the Statue of Liberty disappear. I was never there in the harbor, so I didn't see it. But I'll tell you, when it came to TV, it looked like he really did it. But with special effects and all of those sorts of things, it's amazing what you can do. It's amazing what I can do on a computer with Photoshop, you know. But what is that? That is nothing more than creating illusions. It's being deceitful. And so we see here that John is telling us in verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. And so this is our third message out of 1 John. And if you remember, again, John is writing to a third generation of Christians. You know, John himself was one of the apostles. He was even one of the inner circle when it came to Jesus Christ and his earthly ministry. And so he was right there. And so he is trying to teach, if you will, to this third generation Christian some truths that he has experienced. And we had talked about this over the last few weeks, that there has been some false teachings that has crept into the churches, that has crept into these Christians' livelihoods in their lives. And so some of the things that we had already talked about was that there was this teaching going around that Jesus Christ really wasn't real. You know, he was a spirit. He was someone's imagination. And John is basically saying, listen, that's not true. We sat with him. We talked with him. We saw him. We heard him. We were there when he performed his miracles, when he was teaching there in the synagogues, and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were in awe. We were there when we saw their jaws hit the ground. I mean, he was no spirit. He was God manifested in the flesh. And there was another teaching out there that he was not God. He was originally man, and then when he was baptized, then he became God when the Spirit of God descended on him. And so John is trying to present this truth. No, Jesus Christ, yes, was 100% man. But don't get me wrong. He was 100% God at the same time. And so there was just teaching after teaching. And so John is trying to correct. Why is he having to correct? Well, again, he's talking to a third generation of Christians. You know, John and the apostles, they had a conviction when it came to Christ and who he was. They saw some miracles that you just can't explain other than he was God. You think about Jesus Christ feeding the 5,000. You think about Jesus Christ raising Lazarus from the dead. I mean, some of these major miracles that took place. Jesus Christ walking on water. And just time and time again, he was proving himself as being God manifested in the flesh. And so these disciples, they had conviction about that. They gave their life for it. John, being the last apostle at this point, most likely, saw all of his fellow disciples die a martyr's death. Why would they do that? Because they believed. They had conviction. They were confident in who Jesus Christ was. They had confidence because they knew what has taken place in their own life. And so they pass that on. They're out there preaching. I think of Peter on the day of Pentecost. He's out there preaching with conviction. He's preaching his whole heart, right? And 3,000 souls are added to the church. That's conviction. Those 3,000 souls, second generation. They didn't get to experience what John and Paul and Peter and James and John and all these different ones got to experience, because they were one generation removed. Now, they believed, they had confidence, but they kind of lacked that conviction, again, because they were that one generation removed. Oftentimes, I've mentioned this, we see that in our own generations, where if those beliefs, if those teachings aren't passed down to the children and they have their own conviction, oftentimes they just kind of fall away. And that's what was kind of taking place here. That second generation of Christians, they believed, they passed it on, but now it's passed on to a third generation of Christians, and they're just kind of missing out on something. They're lacking something. And so John is writing this letter to them, and again, we talked about this a few weeks ago. He's telling them, he's trying to show them how to have a joy-filled Christian life. And we saw that in the first four verses. That which we have seen from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. So he's talking about, hey, we spent time with Christ. We saw him. We touched him. We heard him. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And so we talked about this. Fellowship is simply partnership with one another. It is being in communion with each other. It is being engaged in or participating in the same thing. That's what fellowship is. And so John is confessing to this third generation of Christians that, hey, fellowship is participation. It's being in communion with one another. It's being actively involved. It's being engaged. And when you're in fellowship, look at what he says in verse 4. And these things, right? And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. They were lacking joy. They had no joy in their life. And the reason why they had no joy is because they weren't actively involved in the ministry. And we saw last week, being involved in the ministry, being engaged, being in fellowship with Christ, and being in fellowship with one another means, verse 5, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So John is confessing that, hey, Jesus, God, right? God is light, and in him is no darkness. And we talked about this last week. Light is truth. Jesus was the true light. John the Baptist, when he was there baptizing people because of their repentance, you know, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Jewish priests had sent people down to see John the Baptist because they thought that he was the light. They thought that he was the Messiah. They thought that he was the Christ, because he was turning the world upside down. People were flocking to him and hearing him. But John wasn't the light. He was a witness of the light. He was a witness of Jesus Christ. He was the forerunner, the Bible talks about. He was preparing the way for the coming Messiah. And so we see that that John the Baptist was walking in the light. He was in fellowship with the apostles. He was in fellowship with Christ. And because he was in fellowship, he was walking in the light. There was no darkness. He was not living a lie. He was not pretending. He was walking in the same path if you will, that Jesus Christ did. You know, I think about when I was a little guy, and I can remember going hunting with my father. And oftentimes we would go hunting in November because that's when deer season had opened there in northern Pennsylvania. And I can remember going in the woods. My job was to follow behind my father because I didn't have a gun. He did. And he didn't want me walking in front of him when he was carrying a gun. So my job was to walk behind him. And I was to put my footstep in his footprint. Because he was watching where he was going. He was trying not to step on sticks and all of that stuff. And that was my job. Walk in the footsteps of my father. That's what we are to be doing. To be walking in the light of our Heavenly Father. We are to be walking the pathway of light. And so if we want to say that we're in fellowship with the Father, and we're in fellowship with the generations of Christians before us, then we need to be walking in this light. And so he continues, and that's bringing us where we are tonight. It says again in verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And I use that illustration of a magician deceiving people into thinking something that's not real. Well, listen, let's be honest with ourselves. Let's take to heart what John is trying to get across to us. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. You know, if we want to be walking in fellowship with Christ, we need to realize that we're a sinner. You know, our sins might be paid for. They might have been washed in the blood of Christ. But listen, that doesn't mean that we are now free. Well, it does mean that we're free from sin, but that doesn't mean, let me backtrack. We are free from the bondage of sin. We don't have to submit ourselves to the servant of sin. But we still oftentimes have sin in our lives. And that's what John wants us to understand. If you want to be walking in the light, if you want to be in fellowship with Christ, you have to understand something. If you've been born again, if you've been saved from that hopeless position that we were talking about this morning, then you have to realize just because Jesus Christ is your Savior does not mean that you are no longer a sinner. The only difference between a lost person and a saved person is the saved person has their sins forgiven. But they're still a sinner. They're a saved sinner. But a person that is not born again, that are not a Christian, they are an unsaved. They are a lost sinner. And so I'd just like to just go through a couple of verses, and we're going to look at these as we continue in our study. But if you would turn over to chapter 5 really quick. This is one of those verses that I underline in my Bible, especially when I'm witnessing, when I'm talking to somebody. Look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 17. You know, and first of all, so John is saying, if we say that we have no sin, then what? We deceive ourselves. We're not truthful to ourselves. We are making an illusion, if you will. And the truth is not in us. 1 John chapter 5, verse 17, all unrighteousness is sin. You know, because somebody might, you know, oftentimes you talk to people witnessing, so are you a sinner? No. Right? Oftentimes, because people today, they don't know what sin is. Oftentimes, baby Christians don't know what sin is. Oftentimes, senior saints don't even know what sin is. Why? Because the truth is not in them. Oftentimes they're not in the Word of God like they should be. They're not sitting under the preaching of God's Word, under God's Word like they should be. And so therefore, they are immature Christians. They don't know what the Word of God says. And so 1 John chapter 5, verse 17, all unrighteousness is sin. The Bible defines what sin is, right? All unrighteousness is sin. Unrighteousness is not right. Not right according to God. Not according to you. Right? It's how God sees us. That's what unrighteousness is. Anything that is contrary to what God says is right, an opinion outside of God's opinion, is unrighteousness. It's wickedness. It's evil. And so we could all come to that same conclusion and say, I'm unrighteous. Because oftentimes I find myself doing those things that are contrary to God's will, God's word for my life. And so if we want to be in fellowship, if we want to be walking in the light, we always got to be putting these truths before us. That whenever I'm doing something contrary to the word of God, I am unrighteous. I am unright in God's eyes. Look at, turn back with me to chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. So there's another plain definition right from God's word what sin is. What is sin? It's the transgression of the law. What is the law? God's word. This is his law. This is his desire for our lives. And so if we see what is right in God's eyes, so if he lays this boundary out for us, okay, this is where I want you to live your life, and I don't want you to go on this side. Here's the boundaries that I have for your life. Now that you're one of my children, here's your boundaries. I love my children. And ever since they were just little ones, there were some boundaries that I set for their lives. And it was for their safety because I loved them, right? I didn't open the door and let my toddlers go out in the front yard, which was just a couple of feet from the road where busy traffic was going by. So I said, no, you're not allowed to go out there without mom or dad. That was a boundary. What happened if they went out there? They were unright in my eyes, and there were consequences to those poor decisions. And so there was discipline that would have to take place. And so that's what God is telling us, that listen, sin is you going beyond the boundaries that I have set for you now that you are one of my children. That's very simple. And what are those boundaries? There's a lot. But listen, it shouldn't be a burden. We should understand that they are there for our good. Like we were talking about this morning, David was able to say, hey, the Lord is my shepherd, and he was excited about it. He was saying that with boldness. He was saying that with confidence because he looked around. He knew those other shepherds, if you will, that could rule his life and literally destroy his life, destroy his character, his attributes. And so here's David shouting for joy because the Lord is his shepherd. The Lord is the one that rules and reigns in his life. The Lord is the one that manages his life. It's the Lord that leads him and guides him to those still waters and those luscious green pastures, all for his good. And the law is for our good. Romans chapter 14, verse 23. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So what is sin? Faithlessness. According to God's word, when we are found unfaithful or faithless, then according to God's word, we are a sinner. Many times, you know, it's hard for us. You know, we live in this sin, sick body that has a sin nature. And as we will see in the coming weeks, we are just like sheep, meaning we're timid, we're afraid, we are fearful of the future. We are concerned about what's around the corner in our life. And so we, as Christians, can have this attitude of, oh man, what's going to happen? I'm so concerned about what's going to happen in my life. How am I going to get through this? What is that? That's sin. Because if we realize that, listen, God is the creator of all things, and He is holy, He is righteous. If you're saved, He is your heavenly Father. Man, and if I love my children, and I do, if I love my children, and you only know how much you love your children, and I can't even fathom a stronger love than that. And yet, that kind of love doesn't even compare to love of our Heavenly Father. And so when He's watching over us, and He's caring for us, and He's allowing things to take place in our lives, listen, it's for our good. Either it's for our good, or it's for His glory. Because oftentimes, what is it that draws us closer to Him? It's those trials. It's those difficulties. It's those life lessons that we have nowhere else to turn. So we turn to God, and that's exactly what God wants us to do, is to lean on Him and trust Him and be drawn closer to Him. And so oftentimes He'll allow things to take place in our lives that will draw us closer to Him and to mature us and to grow us. It's not for our destruction. It's for our good. It's for His glory. He'll allow us to go through something so that we can be a blessing to somebody else. You know, oftentimes somebody will need those encouraging words, or sometime that person will need that little message of edification, encouragement, blessing. And how is it that we can give them those words? We've experienced something just like that. Listen, I know that you're going through a storm. I know that you're going through a valley in your life. But listen, the storm will pass. You're walking through the valley. It's not the final destination. The storm is not the final element that's going to take your life. No, it's something that the Lord allows in your life oftentimes just to grow you and to mature you and to grow your faith and to give you that little token, if you will. There's many things in my own life that God has confirmed by showing me something, giving me a little trial, giving me allowing me to experience a little bit of tribulation. And sure enough, He is faithful and just. And I see that. And so what happens? The next time that I'm faced with something, I can look back and say, hey, Lord was faithful there. Lord was holy there. The Lord didn't make a mistake there. And so guess what? Just another growing time. Just another opportunity to glorify God, because He loves me. He knows what's best for me. And so we need to realize that our faith demonstrates our love towards Him. Our trust in Him demonstrates our love for Him. And so we have to be reminded, though, that when we lack faith, it is sin. And so if we're going to have fellowship with the Father, if we're going to be walking in the light, then we need to keep these truths before us. Unrighteousness is sin. The transgression of the law is sin. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. James chapter 4, verse 17, and we're almost done. James chapter 4, verse 17, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin, right? And so, let's face it. And this is a biblical principle, you know, when we know what is right and we do wrong, knowing what is right, oftentimes, the punishment, the discipline, if you will, is just a wee bit more. You know what I mean? I can remember when we went to Bible college, back in 2006, and our children were much smaller, and we had been attending a church there in Florida for many years. That was the only church that our children knew. Small church, very close-knit family church, if you will. And we had a bus ministry and all of that, but it was a great place, if you will, to raise your children. And so we moved from Deltona, Florida, which was a small church of about 85 to 110, you know, somewhere in that neighborhood. And we moved to Oklahoma City to Southwest Baptist Church, where the average Sunday morning attendance is roughly about 2,000. And so they send out about 20 school buses every Sunday morning and pick up on an average of 600 kids in the metro area, and they bring those kids in, and they have a what they call super church, which is out in the gym. And I mean, it is just an amazing ministry that they have out there. Well, I can remember there was one time that Cody, after super church, had gotten into our car, and we were driving home, and a word popped out of his mouth, and we were like, where did you hear that? You know what I mean? And, well, so-and-so said it in super church. And we had to be reminded that we're no longer in Kansas. We're no longer in Florida. And so here's a church that is trying to reach these children that are being raised in homes that have not an ounce, not a sliver of a godly influence in their lives. And so this church... listen, this church is out there trying to reach boys and girls for Christ. That's a blessing. And so with that comes some things that aren't so good. And, you know, did we take Cody home and blister? No, we didn't. Why? He didn't know any better. He had no idea what that word even meant. But we did teach him. That word is not to be said anymore, or you will receive what, you know. And so, but we need to understand that very basic biblical truth as well. If we know what the Word of God says when it comes to something, and we do it anyways, right? Just like James said, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him... it's sin. Don't deceive yourself. Don't think that you're in fellowship with God. Don't think that you're in fellowship with a brother. Don't think that you're walking in the light if you are doing something that you know deep down in your heart that is contrary to the Word of God. And listen, you are going to suffer more for doing those things, knowing that it's wrong. You're gonna miss out. And Luke talks about that in the Gospels. Luke chapter 12, verse 42 through 48. Jesus was talking to his disciples. He was trying to explain to them this biblical truth as well. And so, verse 42, and the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. And so he's talking about, hey, there's going to be a time. He uses this again as a story to teach the disciples, and he's telling them basically that, hey, there's going to be a master. There's going to be this Lord, little L, that's going to go off. And he's going to be attending this wedding. And you've got some responsibilities. You've got some duties that I want you to perform. I want you to be actively involved with. And so while I'm gone, I need you to be actively involved in these things that I've told you to do. And so when the Lord comes back unexpectedly and finds those servants doing exactly what his Lord had told them to do, he's going to be a ruler, right? Over many things. That's what Jesus was explaining to them. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But, and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink and be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. So a person that is saved and isn't faithful in doing the things that the Lord would have them to do, they're going to miss out. You know what their portion is going to be like? The unsaved. Listen, you're still going to find yourself in heaven, but if you're a born-again Christian and yet you're going to live your life any way that you want, you know, you're going to be that Christian that lives your life on the fence or on the outside of the fence. You know what's right. You know, you're pretending. You are this Christian illusion, if you will, telling everybody that you're in fellowship and you're walking in the light, but you know what's right and you're doing opposite of that. The Lord says your inheritance is going to be just like that of the unbeliever. You're not going to have anything. You're not going to be a ruler of anything. And that servant, which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much of him, they will ask the more. And so we have to understand, hey, this is a blessing. When we sit under God's word, when we open God's word personally and have that private individual devotions on a daily basis, when we spend time with God and he reveals things to us in his word and he's growing us and he's maturing us, listen, those things are good because what? He is molding us. He is shaping us into the very image of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants us to be more like him. He wants us to be that representative, that ambassador of Christ. We need to represent him well. We need to be walking in his footsteps. We need to be walking in the light so that we might have fellowship with him, that our joy might be full. That's what John is trying to get across to this third generation of Christians. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I love that verse because I know that I'm a sinner. I know oftentimes I find myself unright before God. Oftentimes I step outside of his boundaries. Oftentimes I know what's right, and yet, why did I do that? I can't believe I did that. And time again, I find myself committing sin. But that shouldn't depress us. That should encourage us to ask forgiveness. Because again, John is saying there in verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Why are we here tonight opening his word? We're implanting that word in us. We need to be walking in the light. We need to be in fellowship with him. And the only way that we can do that is if we're constantly reminding ourselves, what is sin? Lord, show me. Search my heart, O Lord, and find that wicked way within me. Show me, Lord, where I'm failing you. Show me, Lord, where I'm falling short. Show me, Lord, where I'm not representing you like I should. Show me, Lord. Show me, show me. And that should be our prayer each and every day. And what does he do? He's faithful and just, and he shows us, and he reminds us, and he shows us again as we read his word. And then he convicts us of our sin through the Holy Spirit, and he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins when we confess our sins before Him. What's He doing? He's molding us. He's shaping us. He's helping us to be that Christian that He would have us to be. So let me ask you tonight, are you in fellowship with God? Are you walking in the light? Or are you no more than a spiritual magician? A spiritual illusionist? Because listen, let's face it, either you're a saved sinner or you're a lost sinner, but you're a sinner, and the only way that we can have fellowship with God is to confess those sins before Him. So let's ask the Lord to help us to be that Christian, constantly abiding, constantly desiring to be in the light, because God is light and there's no darkness in Him, and He is our perfect example, and therefore we should strive to be light and have no darkness in us. And the only way that that's going to take place is if we're constantly confessing our sin before Him. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank You so much for tonight. We thank You for Your word and the truth that we can find in it. And Father, thank You again, as I have prayed numerous times today. Thank You for Your patience. Thank You for Your long suffering in my own life, because I know that I fail You. I know that I fall short. Lord, oftentimes I'm just unright in Your eyes. I transgress Your law. Father, I do that which I know is wrong. And then, Lord, I look at myself as You see me, Father, as a sinner. But I'm grateful that You are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And so, Father, You know each heart here tonight. You know those that are saved sinners and those that are lost sinners. And so, Father, if there is one here that does not have a personal relationship with You, I pray that tonight would be the night of their salvation. Father, I pray that if there's one here tonight that they've been pretending, they've been deceiving themselves and deceiving others into thinking that they are that Christian constantly walking in the light and doing no wrong, but there is hidden sin in their life, and they're hiding that from their families, they're hiding that from their coworkers, they're hiding that from their church family. And so, Father, I pray that You would help that individual to realize how faithful and patient You are. And so, Father, help each and every one of us tonight to be the Christian that You have designed us to be. Help us to fulfill Your purpose and Your plan. Help us to be those witnesses. Help us to have that testimony that will draw others to You. Father, I pray that others would see the love and the life of Christ being lived out in our lives, that they would realize that we are truly walking in the light, that we are in complete fellowship with You. And so, Father, thank You again for this opportunity to be in Your house tonight, and we just ask that Your perfect will would be accomplished in each heart and life here tonight. We ask it all in Christ's name. Amen. All right. Good to see everybody tonight. Again, good to have Brother Wetzel back in church with us tonight. You keep praying for Brother Wetzel. He's not through it yet. He's getting stronger each and every day, but he still needs our prayers. So you pray for him. Pray for one another. Pray for, obviously, Miss Jacinda, and pray for Miss Linda. And I know Mark and Susan are out of town. But she'll be coming back, and she'll be taking that first treatment here very soon. So you keep her and Mark in prayer as well. And many people on our prayer list that we can be praying for. So pray for each one. And again, just keep pressing towards the mark, asking the Lord to help us. Because we can do absolutely nothing without Him. Amen. But through Christ, which strengtheneth me, right? I can do all things. Praise the Lord for that. So need to ask Him for power and strength to do just that. All right. Good to see everybody. And we will see you, reminding everybody to be here Wednesday night, right? 6:00. All right. Amen.